Yeah. That's three words. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Hang on a minute. We just got the tech team just catching up here. Hey, conversation. That is what I couldn't get out of my head. And, you know, the definition in the dictionary is a talk, especially an informal one, between two or more people in which thoughts, ideas, feelings and news are expressed and exchanged. Other words to use to describe a conversation are discussion, chit-chat, tete-a-tete, which means a little private conversation, heart-to-heart, head-to-head, an exchange, a dialogue, consultation, or a conference. They're all kind of words associated with the word conversation. Now, I'm about to have a conversation with Astrid. You're right, that's a conversation with you. Okay. I've said to Astrid, "Hi, Astrid, did you sleep well last night? Did you get an extra hour's sleep or go to bed an hour later?" I wonder what the answer's going to be. Oh, it's coming. The dots are on the screen. The dots are definitely on the screen. I didn't do this with Dave because we'd be here for a week waiting for a text reply. You've seen his typing. Typing technique on a computer is this. No hope on a screen. Oh, Astrid says, "I got a good night's sleep and got an extra hour. Thanks for asking. How about you?" Great. I'm having a conversation with Astrid. Or am I? What's your comment about the quality of that conversation? A bit slow. Could be slower, but yeah, a bit slow. It's not face to face. Impersonal. Takes the emotions out. You're good. Any more? Please keep that in your head when we move on in this sermon. Absolutely correct. Yeah, it's not the same as face-to-face, is it? In fact, in another dictionary definition, it inserts another word. It says an oral exchange of sentiments, observations, opinions, or ideas. So that means you speaking actually an oral way. You're talking and somebody is listening. So, okay, Ashley, let's just do this. Come on, out you come. So I want to ask you, did you have a nice time this week when you visited Rachel and Marla?
Yeah, it was lovely. It's very nice. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you been doing the regular mealtime things that we were talking about?
Yeah, I've been trying my best, but yeah, it's going well.
Have you missed any?
One or two, but still staying on top of it.
Good on you, girl. Now, you see, because she's here, I can give her a hug to say, well done, or you need to kind of step up that stuff that you're not doing. Or I can give her, never underestimate a hug or a look or a smile or a, you know, you can give them a, we need to sort that out. Do you know, I caught the end of a documentary this week. No, I think it was on the news. Stay there, Astrid. Well, it was on the news. And there's this police officer, and it's Mental Health Week, wasn't it? Awareness Week. And this police officer, they were saying how many times they're called to issues of mental health. And the thing that just struck me, there's two female officers went again to this house, this flat, and you could hear the conversation. You couldn't see the face, but you could hear the conversation. And this lady was in so much distress. She was in mental anguish. And then I heard the police officer say, "Look, you know, we're not trained in this. We don't know what to do. Can I give you a hug?" And you couldn't see it because it wasn't filmed, but you heard the lady then break down emotionally because communication of words was not enough. She had to give that lady a hug, whether she should as a police officer or I don't know, Dave, you better tell me, but that was the right thing at that moment for that lady. He's a police officer, if you didn't know. And she gave her a hug, and that just communicated loads and loads of things. So we're saying that to be the most effective, quality conversations have to be carried out in the presence of a person that you're talking to. Are we agreed on that? If you're going to have a conversation with someone, it's best to have them here so you can look at them, you give them a hug, a quick kiss if you want to, if you know that well. So Astrid, my little challenge to you is look around this room, and it can only be people in this room. I want you to pick out the three people in this room that you talk to the most. Wes? For those people that are... Those people who are new to church, that's her husband, so that's a good thing. Second up, who people you talk to the most?
Hannah.
Hannah?
Yeah.
Okay. And you can have one more.
Oh, I see Bob and Lainey every day. Can they be like one?
Well, according to scripture, they are because they're married. Yeah, that's all, okay. Okay. Right, okay. Your second challenge is to pick out people, again, in this room, the top three people who know you the best in this room.
Rachel and Bob and Lainey.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, you guys as well. Oh, Donald.
This was meant to be a straightforward illustration. I know you're complicated. Have you changed your mind?
Oh, no. Stop that
right now.
There's quite a few.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
We'll stick with those that you've chosen for start off.
Okay, it's not personal.
So we can say from that observation that most, apart from one, although you're changing your mind, most of those people that you picked out that you talk to the most know you the most.
Yeah.
Know you the best.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah?
So. Yeah. Yes.
You agree with that?
Yes.
Great. You can sit down. Thank you. Oh, dear. So if I want to know Astrid better, I would talk to her more often. We would hang out together more often if I want to know her. Because talking to someone, having a conversation with someone, hanging out with someone, being in their presence, exchanging ideas, information, encouragement, whatever, increases the knowledge of them and therefore increases the quality of your relationship. Yeah? We agreed. So, is that principle true about us and God? Is the more we talk to him, the better we know him? Yeah? Does that principle still apply to God? The more we talk to him, the better we know him. Well, I think it does. I think it's a major yes. And, I'm supposed to move that on, aren't I? Thank you. There you go. There's two people chatting together. So if we're talking to God... what's the word we use to describe prayer. Prayer, right? And according to the Cambridge Dictionary, prayer is to speak, thank goodness, to God, either privately in a religious ceremony, in order to express love, admiration, or thanks, in order to ask for something. I have now used the P word, prayer. The moment I talked about praying to God or use the prayer word, honestly, how many of you had a negative or slightly negative thought, or you shifted into, oh yeah, I know where this is going? Anybody prepared? Rafe, great. What did you think? Not doing enough. Guilt. Great. Anybody else have a reaction? Come on, put your hand up. I need some participation here. Scared of what I was going to say. Dave? Scared of what I was going to say about prayer. Okay. Anybody else that's prepared to be courageous and say what their reaction was? Come on, Sam. I'm underachieving on this. Anybody else? Marina? Yeah. That is a conversation with God. Okay. So I've used the prayer word, and you may have had some negative thoughts or whatever, and might involve guilt or not being good enough at praying, or no, not this subject again. I haven't got time, it doesn't work, other people here are far much better at it than me, I don't know how to pray. Maybe you had a whole range of those things, and some of you, I can't admit to those, but now I'm mentioning them, you're thinking, actually, yeah, when I look at that word prayer, then I have some of those feelings. Now, can we just, for the duration of this sermon, please, suspend these negative reactions and give me a completely blank page, or God, a completely blank page? All right? So all your negative things about prayer, can you just say, okay, recognize those, turn a new page and say, God, write some stuff on here about prayer. So let's go back to what we just learned. Okay, getting to know someone better involves conversation, talking, communicating. Talking, having a conversation, means expressing, exchanging thoughts, feelings, and ideas. And talking is the most effective, is most effectively done in person, so it involves spending time with that person. Okay? We agree. So the big, massive, important question we need to ask ourselves is, do we want to know God better? Do we want to know God better? Just answer that one question in your head right now. Do you want to know God better? And some of you are automatically saying, no thanks. I'm afraid of him. He makes me feel bad because he's going to point out all my failings. He's going to punish me for some of those failings. Can I respectfully say, you've got the wrong God. You have the wrong God. He is not like that. He gets a lot of press like that from someone who doesn't want you to know God, but he is not like that. If you feel that God is like that, may I suggest that you hang out and have conversations with people who do know the real God. Get them to tell stories to you about what he means to you, to them, what he's done for them, what he is like, what they've discovered from their life that God is like. Get a picture of God that is accurate and that is something that at the end of it you say, actually, I want to know more and getting to know that God more. Okay? So if your answer is no, I don't want to know God, then your homework from here is to grab someone over coffee and say, what does your God do for you? What does he look like? How would you describe him? Why is he so exciting? Why do you follow him? And try and get to know him. So, Nicky Gumbel, you probably know, he pioneered Alpha, which is that course that's all over the world and introducing people to faith. This is what he said. Prayer is the most important activity of our lives. It is the main way which we develop a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Or, I'm not going to try and not use the word prayer now, because some of you think it's negative, okay? So I'm going to use talking to or chatting to God. So let's rephrase that with our little phrase. Talking to God, having a chat, telling him our thoughts and our feelings and sharing ideas is the most important activity of our lives. It is the main way in which we develop a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So if prayer, the word prayer is causing you a problem, then ditch it and use something like chatting, tete-a-tete. I don't know if you're French. Marie-Thérèse isn't here today. She'd love that. But I'm going to use that phrase, chatting with God or talking with God. That is the main way we develop a relationship with God. It beats coming to church, attending life group, or even reading your Bible. This woman is a heretic. No, she's not. Jesus didn't go and read the Old Testament regularly, and he had quite a good relationship with God, right? He went to the synagogue, but mainly to preach and to sort them all out. He had a close relationship with God because he talked to God. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church, don't read your Bible, don't go to life group. Of course, all of those things are brilliant. But if you really want to know God personally, you need to speak to him and speak to him more often. Because all of those things, you can read books, you can watch DVDs, you can have podcasts and watch videos of other churches and stuff. All of those things are great, but they're not as effective at getting to know God personally as talking to him. Yeah? Now, for some of you, that's come a bit of a shock. But it's the truth. It is the truth. If Astrid had a book written about her, or a video made out about her, or whatever, or I could go online and look at her, what's that thing there? LinkedIn, have you got a LinkedIn profile? No, Instagram, yeah. So you could learn a lot from Astrid about all of those things and social media, but there's nothing like hanging out with Astrid, having a coffee, having a chat, spending time with her to get to know her. So how is it we think we can even read the book about him, come to the place where he is worshipped, get involved in worship, but get to know him without speaking to him? Huh? He is a person. He's not a thing. He's not a book of rules. He's not a lifestyle. He is a person. And if we want to get to know a person, then we have to look at all of those things up there, and talking to him is the best way. So, here we go. We're going to learn how to talk to God. Oh, well, that's just blown my second point, but never mind. Don't worry about it. You haven't got the sack, Astrid, but consider this a third warning. Right. Start a conversation. I don't mean it. I love it a bit. Start a conversation, okay? If you're going to talk to God, start a conversation. That's sensible. But start a conversation, no matter how tentative that is, right? The more you try and start a conversation or start to talk to him, the easier it will feel. For example, my mate Eunice down here. I can't remember when we met. I don't know how many years ago it is now. Do you remember?
1989.
Oh dear, I feel prehistoric already. And when she walked into church where we were then, I would imagine that my conversations were like, "Hi, what's your name? My name's Judith, and you moved into the area. What job are you doing? Oh, your dad was a pastor as well, so was mine. Oh, yeah, yeah." We could have that conversation, and we had that kind of like just met conversation. And when I saw her the next week, I'd say, "Oh, yeah, how's the job going?" We've been friends now since then. I can't do math, so I can't tell you how. So annoying when people are so much better at math than you. 28 years? I do feel prehistoric. Right. Over 28 years now, we don't have that level of conversation. We can talk about anything and everything. And sometimes I know what she's thinking and feeling and vice versa before we say anything. Because of the time we've spent together, talked together, we know each other better. So start the conversation, even if it feels awkward at first. Say, "Hi, God. Yeah, okay, see you tomorrow." That's a start. It's a start, okay? Just start a conversation. Open your mouth, start a conversation, and maybe there's something you need to thank him for. Maybe, after you've heard this morning, anything you know that he's challenged you on. Maybe there's something you want to ask him. Start there. Start a conversation. You have to start somewhere. Start the conversation. And the second point, as you well know, is engage and express your emotions and thoughts. Try reading the Psalms. If you read them, David is always talking to God, and he has a whole range of emotions that he's talking to God about, positive and negative. So if you, God is used to coping with people who talk to him when about their fears, their hopes, their excitement, their disappointment. For goodness sake, when you talk to God, be real. Don't be phony. If you're feeling rubbish, tell God you're feeling rubbish. Right? If you're feeling happy, then don't cut him out of the happy party. Tell him you're feeling happy. Often we talk to God, and all we do is we tell him about all the stuff that's going wrong in our lives, and we don't go and say, "Fantastic day I've had today. God, you answered that prayer. Thanks very much." We just kind of like, "Well, that's his job to answer my prayers," and we just let him get on with it. No, why don't you include him in those exciting times, not just the times when we are in need? Let's see if this works. Well done. Ask you to just breathe a sigh of relief. Be completely honest. He knows it anyway. Right? You can't pull the wool over his eyes. You can't lie to, well, you can lie to him, but you won't do any good because he knows everything anyway. You've ever been in a situation where you know something's happened to someone, but you don't want to say, and you're waiting for them to tell you what's happened to them? Yeah? And when they don't, you think, "Oh, I thought we were friends." Or how about if you're a parent, this is classic, and you know your child has done something wrong. You know it. You may have seen it, or you've had it very reliably reported to you. And you know, but they don't know you know. And I tell you what, my kids have done things wrong on occasions, very rare. Andrew more than Rachel, I suppose. Yes, yes, yes. Because he's not here to defend himself. His fault for moving to Manchester. Anyway, right. And they've done stuff wrong. And you know what used to bless me the most, even if I knew what they'd done wrong, is them coming to tell me they had done wrong. Because it built our relationship. It built trust. And I'm more likely, if any kids in the room or want to listen to this podcast, I'm more likely not to punish them so harshly if they own up to what they've done rather than me having to find out. And all parents are going, yes. Because there's no point in being dishonest. You can't get away with anything with God, so tell him the truth. Be honest with him. It builds relationships, and God can take it. Fourthly, listen. Have a two-way conversation. It's not a dialogue. Sorry, it's a dialogue, not a monologue. That means it involves listening and talking. Give space to God to speak to you. You know I like playing tricks on people, don't you? Well, not tricks. That's Dave's department. But I like throwing kind of curveball challenges. And I remember speaking to, I think it was a bunch of young people or leaders of young people anyway. And I think it was a training stuff. And I just said to them, right, I want you to go out and I want you to talk to God. And they went, oh, right. I said, but there's only one question or two that you're going to ask him. I want you to go out and I want to ask, want you to ask God what kind of a week he's had. I want you to ask him what's really causing him a heartache at the moment and what he's pleased about. You ought to have seen the look on those young people's faces. She's completely lost it this time. What do you mean? Prayer is all about, can you do this? Could you sort that out? I need this. So-and-so needs your help. And I'm sending them out to pray, and I'm saying, don't do any of that. Just ask God what a week he's had. And they're like, it just changed their whole thinking about prayer. Because prayer is not a shopping list. It is talking to God and listening to him. He can speak to you through thought, feeling, scripture, circumstance, other people. Develop the skills of listening to God when you talk to him. Do you know what? He's speaking to you more than, far more than you give him credit for. It's often us who are listening, who is not listening or giving him room and space to listen. How many times it's all like a conversation with God, you know, you're on the phone to God and you're talking to God and then you say, sorry, God, got to go now, bye. Bus is coming, got to get to work. And God's like, dial tone. I was just about to tell you, we often just give God a load of stuff that we want to tell him, but we don't give him much opportunity to say things back, do we? So if we're going to develop a talking to God, then I suggest that, you know, you listen as well. Also, you need to be, that wasn't your fault, that was my fault. You need to be focused. Have you ever spoken to someone and you know they're not really listening? Because they're looking at their watch, they've got their phone out, they're looking around the room, whatever. You know, you feel like going, look at me when I'm talking to you. I say that to children, don't you? Look at me when I'm talking to you. And they're just not there. And you think to yourself, well, what do you think to yourself when that happens? Why bother? Am I not important? What else is, what's more important than talking to me then? Oh, you might as well go and do it then because I'm just wasting my time. So, yeah, you need to be focused. Oh, it's classic, this. I won't mention who this is, but Rachel, you'll know who it is. I'm on the phone to someone, and I know they're playing a computer game as they're trying to have a conversation with me. You don't need a word of knowledge for that, do you? You know. Or they're watching a television program they put down on really low and they don't want to miss this bit. For goodness sake, get a smart box and just press pause on it, because then you can watch it in a minute. But you've got that conversation and you know there's a kind of a delay in their response. And when they do respond, it's a load of rubbish. And they're trying to kind of read, what did she just ask me? And I'm just... I tell you what, ring me when you finish your game. That's what I say. I'm not competing with a computer game, so that's the end of that. Focus, right? If you're going to talk to God, focus on him. Now, there are times when you have arrow prayers, when you're in the middle of something really, really bad happening, and all you can say is, God, please sort this out, keep me safe, do whatever. That's great. But you are focusing on God then, right? So focus, but there are those times. But you need to kind of, when you're talking to God, you need to really focus on him. And if you try to talk to him, I guarantee that loads of things will flood your mind. Things you should be doing, places where you should be going, I haven't rung so-and-so. Loads of things will happen to you. And you'll think, I've got to do those. My tip is either get your phone out with your notes and make a list, or get a piece of paper and make a list of those things you've got to do. Go back to talking to God, then do them later. Just get them out of your head, write them down somewhere, and focus on God. Or, if you have something that's really in your head that keeps coming to you, why don't you use that as a conversation starter? God, I'm trying to talk to you, but every time I do, I'm thinking about so-and-so who's going to hospital tomorrow for this thing. How about you just give him your peace at the moment? Just talk to him about that. Then get back to what you want to talk to him about. Okay. Make time to talk. Be intentional. Don't leave it until you have a spare moment. Set aside a time and maybe a place that best suits you. Some people like walking out in the country, others like being by the sea, which is quite difficult here. But you could take yourself off at weekend on a Saturday and go and pray. Talk to God, rather. Set aside some time and a place that suits you. Make some time to talk. And you all laughed about Astrid saying that she talks to the most, but do you know what? Some married couples are extremely bad at speaking to one another because they're so busy and it takes time and effort, and you say, oh, I just watch a television program instead. You know, you have to be intentional, even when you're married, to speak to the person that you're married to. And finally, respect who you're talking to. Don't treat him like a slot machine or a shop from which you're going to get all you want off the shelves. He's not almighty Amazon with a wish list facility. You know, well, thanks for giving me this, God, but you know there's 7 other things on my wish list I think I want you to do for me. He is not almighty Amazon. He is a God who is powerful, or loving, or knowing, full of grace and compassion. He is amazing. Just hang out with him and talk about him. That'd do you really good. You have an open conversation. God, I want to tell you today how amazing you are. What I've heard about in this morning at church, all those people, Marina's coming to the second on the list. Do you know, God, you're absolutely outstanding. You're all powerful. Oh, about healing a toe. You know, you're just interested in the smallest detail. You are one awesome God. If you started your prayers like that, sorry, prayer, not always in prayer, am I? Chats with God like that, that will set you on a whole different trajectory and make you think differently about what you're going to ask him for. Respect his authority as well over your life, and obey as quickly as possible and as thoroughly as you can if he tells you to do something. So talking to God is vital, and it's the most effective way of getting to know him. Just leaving it to when you're at church or at life group is only going to take you so far. You have to make it personal to become a personal relationship. And that is up to every one of us. Who's heard of Charles Spurgeon? Yeah, okay, some of you have. He was a really fantastic preacher in the 1800s. He, as a preacher renowned throughout the world, said this, and I quote, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." He knew that talking to God is more powerful than preaching. Maybe because talking directly to God yourself is so much more effective than hearing what God has to say through someone else. When God says it to you, you know it's personal. You know it's real. And you know there's no getting out of it because God said it. If I preach to you today, and I'm talking today, talking about prayer, and, you know, I could just, you know, provoke you to pray a bit more. But if you went and talked to God about how you should chat to him, and he gives you some keys or tells you what he wants you to do, you're far more likely to do it because your personal relationship with God is a lot stronger and more effective than anything I could ever say. A bit of practical help for you here. Not many people bring their Bibles to church these days because they've got them on their phones. If you're stuck, really are stuck about how to pray, Psalm 5. Right? O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groanings. So you could start off with that and say, right, I am talking to you, God, because you're the king of the universe and, you know, you've got all power, whatever. And I've got a few things I'd like to talk to you about that are really causing me angst. Listen to my cry for help. I will never pray to anyone but you. Listen to my voice. And it goes on. And there are several things in there that if you took that as a pattern to start to pray, if you haven't got, if you're really new to this, flick Psalm 5 up, start to read it and start to turn those things as pointers to talk to God about. So are you ready for a conversation with God? Do you want to get to know God better? Then you need to have a conversation with God. We need to increase our conversation with God. Communion people, can you go out right now, please? They're going to come back with a bit of bread and grape juice. I want you to take a piece of bread and hold the grape juice in a cup in your hand. And I want you not to take it. But what I want you to do is I want you to look at those symbols. I'm going to tell you what those symbols are in case you don't know. The bread represents, and Jesus has instituted this, so we have a reminder of what's happening. Just give them out, guys. Start off as I'm speaking. The bread is to symbol Christ's body that was broken on the cross for us. And the wine, the grape juice, is to symbolize the blood that was shed. Because it took that costly sacrifice to make a way back to us to even start a conversation with God, let alone get our sins forgiven. So as you look at this bread and this cup in your hand, symbolizing the price of salvation, I want you, either in your head, but preferably because you have to engage your brain, to slowly whisper and start to have a conversation with God about what this sacrifice means to you personally. Dear me. So everyone clear what we're doing? Right? If I were you, I would just kind of do a little whisper like that, don't know, because that helps you focus, because other people are going to be doing the same. I need some, by the way, actually. Where's mine gone? So all you're doing is you're going to have a chat with God about what you think this sacrifice has meant to you, or even you might start to think about what it could mean to you. Okay, so you can start that conversation now. Okay, God, we've heard some of our conversations about that. We collectively together now. take this symbol of your broken body. And we thank you for the sacrifice you gave. So let's just eat the bread together. And likewise, this cup, Lord, represents so much freedom for us, so much healing, so much of a way back to you, a way of communicating and having a relationship with you. We take it in remembrance of you, and as the scripture says, until you come again. So we take it with hope that you are coming back for your church. Thank you, Jesus. Let's drink that together. So hopefully, you might find that difficult because we're in a room with people. But just talking to God without any flowery language, just chatting with him is the way to start. Second thing we're going to do to talk to God is we're going to talk to him about people who need our help. You got them?
You read them?
Okay, so Dave's going to read out our prayer requests. Then we're all going to pray for these people. We're going to talk to God about these things.
Just do it here. Yeah, in James it says, if any of you are in trouble, he should pray. It also says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so, a few things here. Derek, please pray for my son Chris in the USA. He has a colonoscopy this Wednesday. He's concerned because of the history of bowel cancer in the family, which nearly got me, that's Derek, in 1999 at 49 years old. Chris is 45. Let's pray for Chris. Amanda, I have an interview next Saturday to be a Weight Watcher leader and run my own meetings. Let's pray for God's success in that one next Saturday. Nikki, we prayed for her last week. She had an interview for a job. It went well. She's waiting to hear about a second interview that she had on Friday. She says, I keep doubting myself, but know that it is now with God, and I pray that this is the right direction and job for me. Nikki, we're going to stand with you. And finally, Sharon, please pray for a great first day at the Caterham branch of Waitrose, where she's working on Tuesday. It's the first day there. Also, please pray for healing of my back. I have been in a lot of pain since Thursday.
Okay. And I'd like to add one to that. We need to pray for Pam. She's got lots of family and health challenges in her family and stuff, so we need to pray for her. And Brian, you know Brian and Jackie? Brian has just had surgery, bowel surgery. So they found some cancer and stuff there, so we need to be praying about that, okay? Now, normally someone leads from the front or one person does, but I want us all, maybe you can't remember all of those, but start now a conversation with God. And I would like you to verbalize that just as in a small little whisper, just to be able to concentrate. So let's just pray about those things now. Talk to God about those things. Great, so we've had a little conversation with God on behalf of other people. Two other challenges before I sit down. One is, has anyone here who's never talked to God out loud in a service before and wants to do that today? It's Just give you a moment to think about it and for the Holy Spirit to go, oi, that's you. And just tell you now, if your blood pressure is going up and your heart and you're pounding, that's probably you. And if you don't do this, you're going to kick yourself, because this is a fantastic opportunity. Is there anyone here who's never prayed out loud in a service and thinks, yes, I want to do that today. I want to break through that today. Just be very kind and give you the opportunity. So you all pray in the services. Right, I will be listening next week when we have prayer, free prayer. Who's going to be talking out loud then? And if you haven't tried, try it in your life group. Okay, if you've never prayed out loud, try in your life group. Okay, and the final challenge is, do you know what? God's been challenging me to step up my conversation with him. We go through seasons and changing circumstances in our lives, and we have to adapt to these. Some while back, I had the talking to God bit sorted. I knew when I was doing it, I got out and did it, and then certain circumstances had changed in my life, and I had to kind of semi-adapt, and then they changed again. And do you know what? I have to say, prayer has been squished out to the side in my life because I'm far too busy doing this or that or the other. I haven't made time for it. God's challenging me today to start a conversation, an intentional conversation, step up my conversation with him. Who else is going to step up the frequency, level, and nature of their conversation with God? Who wants to know him better? It's not something you can leave to, it will just happen. We intentionally have to do it. I'm going to talk to God on our behalf for all of those people that are saying yes. Let's close our eyes and just talk to God yourself, but I'm going to pray on our behalf. God, we are amazed at the lengths you've gone to be able to have a conversation that leads to a relationship with you. You had to send your one and only son and for him to die that cruel death on the cross to make it possible. Thank you that you prize talking to us and having a relationship with us so highly you thought that deal was worth it. And God, forgive us for stilting our conversations, stopping our conversations, restricting our conversations, getting in a rut with our conversations with you. God, those within this room are saying, yeah, I want to know you better. Help us, Father, to intentionally restart, reboot that conversation, or just to start for the very first time. Help those here that are not even sure whether you exist or love them. Help them to start that conversation, because you are quite capable of answering those things personally to them. And we pray that you will just show yourself to be up real and personal with all of us as we open that conversation and we start to get to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Well, just to say that next week, Tony and Laura will be with us. Those of you who don't know who Tony and Laura are, it's a young couple, young family that we support as they work reaching street children in Recife in Brazil. Be an excellent meeting next week. Do come and support them. We support them financially as a church. So don't miss next week.